Welcome to episode 18 of All Talk No Buck. 18 is also the number of heart attacks I had during the World Series, so there's a correlation there. I'm Heather.
I'm Charles.
And I'm Reese.
And welcome back to the gang, Tori and Andrew. So happy to have you. Andrew and I have been celebrating now for lots of time because, as you guys may know, unless you're living under a rock, the Dodgers are World Series champs in 2020. So very exciting. If we had I wish we had a sound effect thing so we could click it and it goes yay, you know.
You gotta get some confetti poppers or something.
Yeah, we need exactly. Something like that. And everybody else on the team has been really nice about it, considering that, you know, I've been obnoxious a little bit. So we're really excited that the Dodgers won and they ended their 32-year drought, but we all know that. So we're going to just quickly go through the ending. But then more importantly is what's happening after the World Series, which is controversy and conspiracy and COVID and LA's beloved Justin Turner. And it's just all... it's all conspiring into one crazy, crazy after effect. So game four was wild. And Charles, you want to sort of quickly lay it out? And it just, I don't even want to think about it anymore because it's in the past. But I guess we have to.
Well, fair. I think I want to go more of an overall approach real quick, just because I call Dodgers in six. And Reese got on that train right there, but I think she should be pretty stoked too that that we called that there. I mean, the Rays, like we said, fell apart. I mean, I was expecting more in game four from Julio and the overall team, but hey, you know, you come up short there. I'm sorry, am I mixing up games here? No, that was game four.
No, it wasn't Julio's fault.
It was Baez.
You're right, yes.
Yeah, it was Pedro
Pedro Baez came in there, and I mean that was like a Roberts choke there that we are so used to, and it was totally sorry to see. I called a win there from Baez and Julio, and it just didn't happen there. And I was wrong with game five with Kershaw and everything. He came through, they got the win there, and you know, Clayton was perfect in the World Series. We could say that. He got, you know, his two wins, and he looked great. Roberts, I'm going to say, you know, he did well there, and he came through. And in game six, we saw Dave Roberts at his best. I mean, I couldn't have called a better rotation from that game, and it really worked out. And the Dodgers got it done in six, and I was happy to see it. You know, even though I'm an Angels fan, I love LA, and to see the Dodgers get a win. Honestly, I think I can name more Dodger players now than I can players from the overall rotation that I've seen, for how much Heather has talked about it. I think we know a lot more about the Dodgers now than everyone else, and they're World Series champs, so we should know more about them. And I think I might have to get a jersey now. I mean, Mookie's going to be around for a while.
Charles, I wouldn't go that far. It's really well.
I already have a Trout jersey. So maybe I got to get the long-term boys, got to get Mookie and Trout together. Yeah. Cause you know, I liked what I saw from Mookie. I picked Seager as for World Series MVP. So Seager, my boy, came through again. Heather was doubting him. So I'm glad to see that Seager came.
What?
He had a call, Heather, and you were saying Mookie was going to win it over Seager. I remember this. So I'm just saying, Seager had a better series.
I might have said that. Yeah, I might have said that.
Okay, coming back now. So I was happy to see Seager. He deserved it. I don't know what was up with Rob Manfred after that game. I mean, we'll talk more about that. I'm sure someone will get into that more. But people are saying drugs. People are saying you know, he was nervous. We don't know what was going on.
Alcohol.
Out there. Alcohol. Put that under the drugs category as well. But Manfred, man, did he choke. I don't know what's going on out there. So, yeah, overall, a lot to talk about. Justin Turner, I mean, if you're a fan of baseball, you do not care what he did there. I'm sorry. I know the whole COVID thing, but this is once in a lifetime for him. He's pushing up there. He's going to be 36 coming up here soon. So I think that for him to get a win and to enjoy it with his team, they've worked so hard. And I don't think that this was anything less but an amazing season. And if you're, you know, shooting on him for only 60 games, just stop it right now. Everyone had the same chance. Even the Marlins got in there and had a chance. So if you're shooting on the Dodgers, yeah, you need to check yourself right now, because the Dodgers really earned it this year, their overall rotation. And we saw that they were the best team in baseball, and the best team won this year for once. So happy to see that. And Reese, I'll dish it over to you, because I think you have a lot to say about the overall series. So anything you want to talk about from what we just covered?
I mean, as the Oracle's apprentice,
oh my God, stop. Get out.
It was fun to watch. It was a fun series. My Padres weren't there, but I enjoyed it nevertheless, even though the Dodgers are the ones who came through. So congratulations to Heather and Andrew. I'm happy for you guys. Again, overall, it was really exciting to watch. Seager was so amazing to watch the entire postseason, not just the World Series, but literally the whole postseason. Mm-hmm. So that was really, really fun. I enjoyed that a lot. I do want to talk a little bit about the Rays. I want to talk about Brett Phillips in game four, because I know the Rays didn't end up, you know, coming out victorious, but that play in game four was amazing. I know. I'll be brief about this, because I want you to be happy and celebrate, but I do want to acknowledge it, because it was an amazing play. He hadn't had a hit in over a month. This guy brought home Kiermaier. This guy brought home Rosarena. And wow, like, shout out to him. I know it was on the Dodgers' error, but still super exciting. Yeah, so that
two
was
errors.
Two errors in a row. So that was unfortunate on their behalf, but super exciting for the Rays. So really enjoyed that. Game six, that game finished off seamlessly. So shout out to the Dodgers, shout out to their pitching, shout out to their offense, shout out to their organization as a whole, shout out to Dave Roberts. I mean, I don't have that much to say about it other than congratulations, and I just genuinely enjoyed watching it. Like, it was a very solid series. Both teams put up a good fight, and yeah, the Dodgers deserved it. And also, Charles, I 100% agree. Anybody who's going out there saying that this series is invalid and that the postseason doesn't count, the World Series victory doesn't count, it absolutely does. Not only is it a valid World Series, but you also have to consider the fact that they were playing through a pandemic, and that's a lot of added stress. So if anything, like, this is even more special than a traditional World Series. You were spot on when you said that everyone basically had an equal opportunity to come through and win this, and the Dodgers deserved it fair and square. So 100% agree on that notion.
Yeah, you know, and Tori, I want to throw it over to you really fast, because yeah, I know that you were rooting for the Dodgers to lose in this series, but you must have been a little bit pleased to see Kevin Cash majorly choke the way he did in that last game, because, my God, I mean, Tampa's whole MO is analytics, even more so than the Dodgers or any other of those very forward-thinking teams that we're seeing pop up around the league. But you must have been happy to see the team that essentially beat up on the Yankees this year sort of choke in the last moment. I don't know.
Oh yeah, no, definitely. Just like at the beginning of the series, I was like, oh, I literally don't want either team to win. And then as it kept going, I was like, okay, I'm into it. It got good. Kind of like how Charles was saying, yeah. I think I really know like the Dodger players now. I didn't know them as well before, but like now I like,
yeah.
It was exciting. It ended up getting exciting. Definitely Cash choked big time in game six. The second he was pulling Snell, after giving up like one hit, he had no walks, I think had given up two hits throughout the entire game. He was literally so on, and he was just like, oh, he gave up a hit. And then I knew right there it was over. I don't know if you had that much hope at that moment, but I was like, it's over. Just like even in game four when Roberts did bring in Jansen, I was like, it's over. Like, the Rays are going to come back. But that's what makes baseball exciting.
Fair enough.
It's part of the game. And it ended up being a very exciting series. And I'm happy for the Dodgers in the sense that there's so many Dodger fans that I know that have been waiting for this moment for so, so long. And I definitely think it was a legitimate season, a legitimate win. Yes, it was different as far as shortened, everything like that, but they still had to earn it. They still had to go out there. They had to play through even more pressure, like Reese was saying, than anyone's ever experienced in this 2020 year. But I think it's a very special moment and a special win. So I am happy for Dodger fans. So
well, thank you.
If anything, I think I'm happier for the fans and for the actual team. You guys deserve it. It's been a long time coming, so
it's true.
Appreciate that.
Yeah.
I have to say that real quick. I wouldn't put that on Kenley. I think that's more on Baez and then on Chris Taylor. I mean, if Cody wasn't hurt with that ankle injury, I think that they stay in that game and it's tied, and who knows what goes on in extra innings. But I totally agree with everything else you said, Torrey and Reese, with everything with COVID and the injuries. I couldn't put it better myself. They deserve it. But I want to hear what Andrew has to say. He's our other Dodger fan. I want to see his take and what he thought of the whole Turner situation as well.
Yeah. Well, the series as a whole, I mean, I loved the series. It was very entertaining seeing it go back and forth. I was okay with, like, going down, not necessarily going down in game two, but, like, it was a good series. Game four was, it stung a little bit. It had, like, flashbacks of, like, game five in 2017 with those two errors at the end of it. Again, like we said, it wasn't necessarily Pedro that kind of let them back into the game with the two home runs. It was on Dave to send him back out there for that next clean inning instead of bringing in, I think it was Trinan or Julio, whoever it was.
Dave. Wait, stop for a second. It was on Dave for not looking at the – this is what analytics matters. You see that in how many postseasons with inherited runners on base, Pedro Baez has allowed every single one to score. He is not a ground ball pitcher. He is a fly ball pitcher, and that is not what you want, especially with less than two outs. And especially because Pedro Baez, sorry, because it was his last season and I'm glad he's a champ and all that, he's not very good. How about that? And yes, I know that he pitched in game six and he pitched well actually in game six. But my God, look at the analytics. This is why Kershaw's postseason ERA is so high, because how many years have we seen Kershaw being pulled, allows runners in the sixth or seventh, and then guess who comes in? It's always Pedro Baez, and they always score. So that's what analytics actually matters. It's simple. We all know. Every Dodger fan knew at that moment. Fuck. Sorry.
He did well against lefties.
That was the first time
in 18 episodes. It took 18 episodes, but it finally happened.
Heather broke the seal.
But I interrupted.
We are legal now.
Believe it. Just believe it. Whatever. Believe it. Andrew, keep going. I'm so sorry. But I have to say that. Keep going.
I will say that. That's the reason they left him in. There was a lot of lefties.
Yeah. But I think they left him in. They brought him in too early in the sense. Because I think they wanted him. They wanted his change against Rosarena. And then they brought him in against the one hitter. And I think at that point, Randy was batting three. Then it's like, okay, then bring him in for just Randy. But there was no stopping a Rosarena. He was like the entirety of the Rays offense, if you're going to let one guy carry you, that's not going to win championship. Brett Phillips had his moment, like a reset in game four, but that was almost it. Kiermaier had a couple good hits, and Lau had three home runs in the series, but in the end, it was all Rosarena. So that's not the right formula for success. And the Rays stuck to their plan. They believed in their bullpen all postseason. And honestly, the Dodgers have kind of been ruining plans all postseason long. What they did to of every series up until then. The Braves had three starting pitchers and relievers who hadn't allowed a run. They ruined those records. And then when they bring in Nick Anderson, they score off of him. The only one that really shut him down was Diego Castillo. And I would have brought him in after Snell in game six, but obviously that wasn't the choice that was made. It worked out for us. It was a great series for us. Obviously, I had plenty of fun in game six. The superstitious person in me switched seats in my living room before they brought in.
Everybody does that.
Before they took out Blake Snell. And as soon as that happened, then instantaneously we're up 2-1. So I'm like, okay, I had something.
Andrew actually won the World Series. It wasn't the Dodgers.
Yeah,
it was Andrew.
It was totally me. I'm looking at the seat. That was the seat that won the World Series.
Randy Rosarena, that guy had a series. I mean, setting the record for home runs as well in a postseason and everything.
And the most hits, I think.
Yeah, hits too. Multiple records.
We're going to see Rays Dodgers for maybe years to come. Both teams have a lot of potential coming forward. Yes, the Dodgers could potentially lose Turner, Kike. They have a couple other guys, Taylor, on free agency. But, I still think that they could come back and get some of those guys back as well. And I think that, like you said, Andrew, the Dodgers were following plans the entire series, and with Morton as well. We saw what happened to him. He was 3-0, 0.57, and they lit him up. So just great to see the Dodgers finally get it done.
And we can't have this conversation, and then we'll move into the COVID and all that crap, but we can't have this conversation without saying that Kershaw did the damn thing. And Kershaw won his championship after 189 postseason innings pitched, which just is that. What is that, a season and a half or something of like regular just season baseball? It's a long time to not, and he won his ring. I don't, you know, 2017, they should have won it too, if you ask any Dodger fan or really any baseball fan. But, you know, forget about that. That's over. And Kershaw won his ring. Kenley Jansen, you know, he's done a lot for us as an organization. He won a ring, Justin Turner. So there are so many guys that you root for. Even Dave Roberts, who's had to take all the crap over the years. You root for Corey Seager, who's not just the most attractive man on the planet. He's also one of the most talented shortstops. And Cody, who made
the hair of the postseason.
Awesome defensive play.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Corey's hair, I mean, can we – there are no words.
You could just make a whole episode about Corey Seager. I'm okay with that.
He's so good looking, and he's getting married, which is so upsetting in like a month. And Mookie Betts, who did it all for us too, and there were so many defensive highlights. And you just like it really quickly. You just like it that all the defensive plays, in particular, that they made throughout the postseason matter now, because we'll remember the Padres catch at the wall. We'll remember the you know, the great postseason outing Clayton had against the Brewers when he went 8 innings. You know, all of those things matter because they added up to a World Series ring. And we will talk about her side of this Dodgers World Series win briefly, because I'll just kick us off, okay? First of all, Rob Manfred, I don't care if you say, oh, it's not like he's a Dodger hater. First of all, he is a Dodger hater. But second of all, why can't baseball do anything right? I mean, my God, they go all those games without getting COVID. And then again, nothing is confirmed right now. We're recording this on Halloween. So as of right now, we don't know much. But what I heard is that they knew about Justin Turner's COVID in the second inning of the game, which why didn't they know before the game started? But whatever, we won't split hairs. They knew about it in the second inning. And then he didn't inform like Andrew Friedman, the president of the Dodgers baseball operations, until the seventh inning. And so then they took him out, Justin Turner. Then he came back, and then people were pissed that he came back on the field and they won. But guess what, everyone? He would have already given them COVID if he had COVID, because he was in the dugout with them. They were in a bubble. They were rooming with each other in the hotels. Like, all the families were together. So don't act for a second like, oh my God, he just put everybody's lives at risk. In this very, and I am the first person to say, wear your mask and, you know, be very COVID. We're all very here, very COVID cautious and aware of that. That's half of why we record on Zoom, but that's also how we live our lives. And so I'm very big on that. Anybody in this house will tell you that. But in this particular scenario in which they're in a bubble and they're all together and everything else, when he goes back on the field and they're sort of outdoors, I get that the roof is closed, but it's a very big stadium and there's a lot of place for the molecules of the COVID to go. I can't fault him for this. He has been a Dodger for, I think, 6 or 7 years. He's 35 years old. This may be his last chance ever, but it's also his first World Series ever, and in what hopefully is many more to come. But he's excited, and he wore a mask, and I know he took it off for the picture and stuff and whatever. Everybody else could get into that, but I'm totally on his side, and it's not just because I'm a Dodger fan. I think of any player, like, the media just wants to focus on the stupid things without thinking about it. So who wants to, Andrew, you want to, since you're the other Dodger fan, you want to take it?
Yeah, I'll go into it. So yeah, obviously, it's been a controversial subject. From what I understand about like what Heather was saying, so the test that came back in the second inning was inconclusive, and they knew about that. And then as the game went on, because the test was inconclusive, then they expedited the results for his test. And then they found out in the seventh inning that it was positive. So obviously that's when they subbed in Edwin Rios and all the, and that all the rest ensued. Yes, I understand both sides as far as like the controversy, like kind of judging him, and the controversy like in favor of him. I understand like where he's coming from. It's obviously your first World Series. you want to celebrate. And yeah, you've been around your teammates and the Rays and your families this entire time. So the damage had theoretically been done. In essence, I feel like this is a result of a failed system. The MLB definitely did not have a grip on everything as well as the NBA or the NHL did. You've been traveling this entire time, this entire season. You had breakouts this entire season. So like from the get-go, your system was flawed. And then to have your bubble kind of like compromised as soon as you let fans in. So I'm willing to put so much money on the fact that that positive test was because of a fan in the stands. So it's like MLB, you kind of did this to yourself by not enforcing your protocols and not help holding your players to a higher standard, because then it's like, okay, well, this is the precedent you set, so there are no consequences. And now you're going to enact those consequences on somebody who made you look bad. The fact that Rob Manfred conveniently disappeared after presenting Corey Seager with the MVP, like, to answer questions. Like, yes, Justin Turner disappeared too, but like Rob Manfred like was nowhere to be seen. So that's interesting on itself. So the onus is not solely on Justin Turner. It more so for optics. Like, it's not a good look, obviously, like kind of putting the players at risk, whether or not it is a false positive or an actual positive, but it is more so a part of MLB, like as a failed system.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. 100%. This isn't on, that's another part of it. You mentioned it. Like, you can't blame a team or a person because this type of regulation must come from the top down. And nobody did the best job they could, even Justin Turner, admittedly. But they weren't prepared for it the way I think a lot of sports fans watching would have liked to see. Reese, I don't know if you saw this. I'll bring it over to you, but Justin Turner like sitting in a room by himself because he had to like isolate from people is just like the funniest image. Like, they win the World Series and he's just sitting in a room. Anyway, a little bit like funny thought. Obviously, COVID isn't funny. Don't take that out of context, people. COVID isn't funny at all. But just the way that sort of like a timeout, like Justin Turner had to take a timeout or something. I don't know, Reese, what did you think of the whole thing from the end of the World Series to what we're seeing now?
Okay, so I agree with what Andrew said. Like, I definitely do think that Justin Turner's at fault here, but I don't think he's the only one to blame by any means. And I think that letting fans in was a mistake. I do. You went the whole season without him. Like, I understand the appeal of having them there, but I don't think it was necessary. Like, you could have waited until next season. You've seen how the NBA has done it, how the NFL is doing it. You were right. Like, the MLB has had outbreaks throughout the entire season. Like, obviously something is not being done correctly. And then to throw in another variable in there when you already don't have control over the situation to begin with, like, not okay. And so, I also see both sides of it. Like, I understand that, like, yes, Justin Turner had been around his teammates prior to the result ultimately coming back positive and him being pulled. But by the same token, I really don't think he should have gone out on the field. Just to kind of throw in another opinion, I guess. Like, for me, I don't want to use the word selfish, but, like, and I do understand, like, wanting to go out there and celebrate with your team. And, yes, absolutely, like, he deserved to celebrate. But also, like, you did have a positive COVID result, whether or not that was a false positive, and you knew that, and you went and you sat next to Dave Roberts, who's a cancer survivor, and you took your mask off, and you increased chances of exposing even more people than you did before. I mean, like, if you look at it big picture, like, you have people who are dying and they can't even say goodbye to their family members because they won't allow family members into hospitals. So it's like, if there are people who are saying goodbye to their family members over the phone, I think you can hold off on going out for a team photo and celebrating with your team and maybe postponing that. Like, I don't know. It is a hard situation, but at the end of the day, I don't think he should have gone out there. That's just my opinion. But I also don't think he's the only one that's at fault here. I don't think they should pin
him. Yeah. No, certainly not.
At the same time, like, maybe not as long as he did. I think he should have been able to go out there, maybe take a couple of photos, keep his mask on. But the way that he was just kind of like nonchalantly just kind of, it didn't even happen kind of thing. Yeah, I could see why that would agitate a lot of people. And yeah. I totally agree with what you're saying. You know, it does irk a lot of people the wrong way. Like, I've lost family members to COVID. I'm sure you guys have been affected in the way, whichever you have. And yeah, you know, it does rub people the wrong way that, you know, it's just a game to some, I guess, that aren't baseball fans. But for someone that, you know, this is your livelihood and this may be the only accomplishment, like big one from your time there, I think that a team photo is allowed, in my opinion. I think you should have been able to go out there. It's, as a baseball fan, you want Justin Turner, who's struggled over the last 8 seasons and fought his way all the way to this point, to be able to enjoy it with his team. But yeah, I think they should have monitored him a little bit more. I think they should have made sure he kept his mask on the whole time. That was a bad look, having a picture with his mask off. And I think that, you know, like you said, Andrew, baseball operations totally mishandled this situation. They should have been down there. Robert Manfred should have been up front and center, owning the situation and making sure everything was handled. And he was a ghost. He pulled the classic Halloween trick on us. And
yeah, happy Halloween.
Totally
disappeared.
Operated into thin air here. So, yeah, I understand where a lot of people are coming from. But like I said before, if you're a fan of baseball, you understand why Justin Turner went out there. Yeah, it's a little too long, but I don't want to be Switzerland here. I'm still on the side of Justin Turner going out there and getting a team photo. What do you think, Tori?
Yeah, no, I agree. There's definitely none of us know how to deal with the virus right now. None of us know
what's right, what's wrong.
Exactly. There's really no right or wrong. I mean, we're obviously all, like Heather said, all like taking our precautions. We're not going out, wearing our masks. We're trying to be as safe as possible, sanitizing, washing our hands, everything like that. And I think just in that situation, it was just hard. And then even the situation where it said, oh, it didn't come back negative, then they expedited the test, and then it came positive, or I mean, it didn't come back positive, and then it ended up coming up positive. So just even the confusion surrounding the test probably made it even more confusing in that sense. And I think it definitely does fall on the higher ups, on baseball operations, on Manfred, on the Dodgers even, or whatever, just being able to take those precautions. And if they have to fully commit one way or the other, it can't be like both ways. Because they didn't do it like, oh, you took him out of the game, but then he's able to, like, come back on the field. It can't be. You have to, like, commit to one way and stick with it. And I think they did a poor job doing that. I will also go back to something Reese said. I've never been a Major League Baseball player, so I don't know all the protocols as far as going. Yeah, I know. Shocker. Going out into the field, and I'm sure with COVID, they're probably even like more safe as far as like before the game, pregame, everything like that. But I don't feel like fans necessarily had an effect on him testing positive, in the sense that like from what I would understand, I don't think he's going and like hugging fans before the game or something like that, or even probably mingling in the same kind of quarters. I think the opening up fans was more of a fear of like super spreading between like fans between fans. That was the impression that like I had. But I definitely think in that moment, Justin Turner, this is his career. This is his life. So he deserved to go out onto the field and be with his team and celebrate. Yes, there's controversy. Maybe he should have kept that mask on the entire time even. But he has been surrounded by all of these players for the past how many days, and in close quarters. So he's been exposed to all of them. They've been exposed to him. And obviously asymptomatic or not, he wasn't experiencing symptoms, which makes it, obviously you can still spread even if you're asymptomatic, but it does make it a little better in that sense that it's not like a direct cough or something like that. But I definitely think that he did deserve to go out there, but at the same time, just in this day and age, everything's going to kind of be a COVID story. Everyone's going to be watching even the smallest of little things if you misstep in one way or the other. So it'll just be really interesting to see how moving forward, how other sports are going to be able to continue to navigate this if there isn't a vaccine or something coming in the next month. Yeah, like this might be something we're dealing with for a while. So it's definitely just like a good reminder to kind of all be on the same page. And I think that MLB could have done a much better job of handling it.
Definitely.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think it's, you know, like you see it now. It's like, you see it now that like Justin Turner, like he didn't do post game interviews, or he hasn't done any like appearances since, or he hasn't made any statements. So like obviously, like, he knows that, like, it didn't look good and, like, all the stuff that's going on. But again, like, going back to, like, how MLB handled it, like, the fact that, like, you're getting results in the middle of the game and then, like, kind of, like, acting on it, like when you found out that the test was inconclusive, like, you should have done something then. If you were doing something, if you're following protocols to, like, to the safest possible, then Justin Turner probably shouldn't have been able to play, or, like, the game, like, gets kind of postponed or whatever, like, in order to make sure everybody's safe. But also, like, who did anybody tell the Rays what happened? Like, the broadcast was, like, so confused as to why Justin Turner was out in the seventh or eighth inning, but, like, no, did anybody tell the Rays? Do they know what happened?
Was there communication at all?
We were all confused. I was like, what's he doing?
I'm sure they found out, like, watching like, the TV in the locker room afterwards. Like,
right.
And they're like, oh, shit. Oh sorry, right. I said it.
Two for two.
All right.
Right. You know, and I think, no, I know. And I think Tori really hit the nail on the head there. I mean, we so quickly and in so many different aspects, not just in this COVID time, but, you know, with players on social media, we always forget that they're human beings. Like, it's so common with celebrities and athletes that we forget that they're people that, like, make mistakes or are run by emotions just like us. And like she also said, none of us have ever won a World Series. There's emotion there. You know, your prefrontal cortex is going crazy. Like, there's, you know, neurochemistry. It's like the most exciting day of your life. And, you know, so certain things sort of guide you in that way. And of course, you know, I'm not saying like impulse control is like not important, because it is, but, you know, we forget that in the moment, it's so hard to always make the right mistake. And especially with a guy like Turner, who in particular is sort of like the LA guy, like he's sort of like the fan favorite. Everybody thinks he's like the nicest guy. You know, it's so hard to have that brand or persona. Mm-hmm. I can't even imagine, like, in the public eye, always having to be like the nice, relatable, cool guy. It's almost easier to be the villain, because then you could be nicer and impress people or like raise their expectations. But with him, you know, and in that moment, again, what's probably the best day of his life, or one of them, certainly, it's like, you know, we can't, I mean, it was so sudden, everything happened so quickly. And, you know, again, I look at him as the human Justin Turner. And again, I'm not saying that because I'm a Dodger fan, but bottom line is, to wrap it up, we are happy for the Dodgers. Unfortunately, this has put a little bit of a notch in, you know, the celebration, and especially since there wasn't a parade yet. We hope there will be eventually, but, you know, LA couldn't fully celebrate, and then there's all this, you know, stuff in the media, and, you know, people saying, like, oh, Justin Turner kissed his wife. Like, yeah, he kissed his wife. Like, again, like, use your mind and think about, like, he was, whatever. I mean, yeah. So anyway, the media loves to get on the hot story and the controversy and the stuff, so I get it. But we're happy for the Dodgers. We love the Dodgers, even those of us who are not Dodger fans, because we're happy for Heather and Andrew. And so congrats to them, and we'll go to your take, our take.
Welcome back to All Talk No Bock. This is your take, our take. We're getting sentimental now that the World Series is over. We're talking about when we've gotten emotional, maybe even to the point where we've cried after a certain game or baseball moment or anything baseball related. So we'll toss it over to Reese down in the bottom right. Reese, when is sometime you've gotten emotional off of a certain game, maybe a Padres loss or a trade, whatever? You have so many moments to choose from.
I'm actually going to go with tears of joy on this one. And that was in game two of the wild card series, when I thought we were going to get destroyed again. And Tatis, Machado, Myers came through, hit a couple bombs. We won. You guys, I cried so many times throughout that game. Talk about an emotional roller coaster. I think I cycled through every single emotion I possibly could have in that 4-hour span. Like, literally, like, it was insane. But yeah, I was in tears, but in a good way. So yeah, that one got a little emotional.
We're like that one movie with all the emotional ball. I can't remember the little motion.
Oh, Inside Out. Yeah.
Inside Out.
What's yes. going on inside someone's head? Yeah, literally.
Funny Pixar reference.
So mine is a little more personal, just because like it was my last high school game. We were playing in CIF, and it's probably like one of the saddest I've ever been on a baseball field, because we were up by one in the bottom of the seventh. You only go seven in high school, and they had a runner on second and third, and we were one out away from winning, and we would have moved on to the semifinals, I believe. And the batter hits a blooper to right field, and our right fielder charges as hard as he can and lays everything out, like full on diving for the ball. It lands in his glove. He catches it, and when he hits the ground, it pops out of his glove. Oh. Two runs score. They walk it off, and that's the end of our season. And we are devastated. We are heartbroken. And every single one of us was like crying. It was the saddest bus ride
that
back home.
That hurt me just to hear.
Yeah. I felt that one.
Yeah, that was painful.
So we were from like the San Gabriel Valley. We went all the way up to like Santa Barbara County, up there by Solvang. So it was a long bus ride home.
Oh, I'm sure.
It was rough. So it was definitely the most heartbreak I've ever felt on a baseball field that I was playing on.
Wow.
I
was just saying this segment's gonna bring me down.
Mine doesn't compare in terms of personal effect. It does. They all affect me. So anybody knows, and it's appropriate that it's Halloween today, because anybody knows that I have like real life nightmares from baseball. Like I can't handle it most of the time. Like I wake up in a cold sweat. Like once I had a nightmare that the Padres beat the Dodgers to go on and win the World Series. It was horrible, and Reese knows about it. Everybody here knows that. But I would say that my the moment I cried the most was the 2018 World Series, actually. They won the game with Max Muncy. That went like 20 hours. And then the game after that, Puig hits a home run with Kobe in the audience. Kobe in the stands, and it was such a good moment. And then they blew that game, and that game I was really emotional. But the funny part about that time in particular, because I cry after like basically every Dodger loss, that's like no news, is that for that game I was in my apartment in Santa Barbara. I was a senior in at UCSB, and normally when I watch baseball I make sure I'm like alone, but this was like in the evening and everybody was there, and so they were just hearing like me like wailing, like having a tantrum in my room, and it was very embarrassing. And they were like, do we need to like call someone? Like, are you okay? Like, do we need to alert the authorities? Like, what the f this time I bleeped myself, I guess. So anyway, that was like the funniest time that I cried. But I cry like after every, I mean, there have been so many moments. And this is why when the Dodgers won the World Series this year and they finally got it done, I bought myself a jersey, and I bought my mom a jersey too, because she's just the true MVP. She's been through so much of my crap. Frankly, I should buy all of you guys jerseys too for all the crap I've put you through in the short time that we've been together, but this one season alone. So that's my sentimental story. It's not as good as Andrew's, but I had to follow that up, so that was hard. Tori, what's yours?
Okay, mine is, of course, the classic Yankees. Derek Jeter's final at-bat of his career. That moment, I watched it live.
Oh, good game.
Against the Orioles. I couldn't help but cry. Like, just from the classic inside-out swing, literally storybook, fairy tale. I think the announcer, Michael Kay, he literally said, Derek Jeter, where fantasy becomes reality. And it is just so... so fitting. I literally get chills. I still cry when I watch it. Just a couple like weeks ago, it was circulating again on like social media, because I think it was like the anniversary this many years ago or whatever, and I literally was crying again. Like, I was crying. It brings tears to my eyes seeing Derek Jeter, just the pure joy. He's always such a humble player, but just seeing after that hit, after that walk-off, literally just the biggest smile just beaming on his face. So that is for sure my probably favorite ever, like, live or anything, game moment, Derek Jeter.
That was a great moment.
That's a great one.
That's a good one.
Shout out, really quickly, shout out to Vin Scully's retirement speech, similar to Tori. I still cry if I ever watch that. That was tough. That was rough. But and when in his final game when he waved down to the field, can't think about it. Charles, yeah, you
go. Definitely good ones for sure. And I would have to say for me, the saddest that I've ever been was I went to an Angel game and the first pitcher that I saw that season was Nick Adenhart.
Oh no.
And he pitched an amazing game against the Oakland Athletics. And right after the game, within hours after the game, it was reported he was hit by a drunk driver. And he was killed in that car accident. And the very next game, they hung his jersey in the dugout against the Red Sox. It was super sad. I shed a tear even at, like, I think I was 8 or 9 years old at the time. So it was really sad day for the Angels. And, you know, his dad was in the stands and got the call the next morning. So just probably the only time I've been, like, super tearful at a game. Sorry to bring it down so much, but that was just a really hard game Angel fans and for everyone, because he was such a young kid, and you know they put him in the intro song beforehand as well now, so it was really special. And with that, we'll wrap it up. That's it for us at All Talk No Bock. Thank you so much for tuning in. That was episode 18. We hope you enjoyed our sentimental moments. We would like to congratulate Curtis Stewart for winning our bracket of the postseason. He's getting that $100,000 t-shirt that I'm sure everyone was gunning for, everyone was stoked about. We have a lot of big upcoming news coming up in the next 2 weeks, so make sure to stay tuned and follow us. There's going to be a lot of surprises. One involving Heather, the other involving the bullpen as a whole. So we're going to keep our eyes out for that. It's going to be very suspicious, very intriguing. It's a mystery right now, so you'll have to keep your eyes peeled and look out for it. As always, follow us on social media. We got Instagram, Twitter. We're going to get our LinkedIn up and going, and we're going to be on TikTok here soon, so look out for that. Make sure to get our merchandise, and you can have a chance to get a t-shirt, not for free, but gonna have to pay us for this one. As soon as you see that shirt that Curtis is wearing, you're gonna want one, so be sure to check that out. And Heather, any other news that I missed or anything we want to talk about?
Well, we hope everybody had a safe and happy Halloween, and especially in COVID times. I know what we talked about during the podcast, but with that in mind, still we want to be safe even though we're outdoors and even party. Be safe and mindful. We hope you did all that. And as always, you know, the election, I know it crept up on all of us. It is on Tuesday, November 3rd, earlier this year than most because of the calendar. But please vote. I mean, if you're undecided, I don't even know what you're doing. Be decided. Vote. Especially on those local, the propositions and all those are really important too. So make sure you read through the entire ballot and do your part and vote to make this country better than it's been. And I'm being as vague as humanly possible when I say that. And like Charles said, lots of exciting things to come very soon. We're working super hard behind the scenes for you guys. We're updating our YouTube channel with all this new great content coming up, so we don't want to give too much away, but keep your eye out for that and all the new social media. And if you're concerned that you don't see articles in the next week or two, don't worry about that. Our writers get a well-deserved break after what was a very long postseason, and they did awesome, so shout out to all of our writers. We love everybody on our team, and they worked super hard this week. And Sebastian, our editor-in-chief, real MVP, not Corey Seager. Corey Seager, maybe co-MVP with Sebastian Moore. All of that. So once again, congratulations to the Dodgers. Tampa, you'll be in the mix for years to come. Sorry that your manager blew it. It's nice to be on the other side of that. But happy World Series, everybody. I'm repping my, I didn't say, I'm repping my Dodger jersey. Andrew's repping his Dodger gear. And from all of us at the bullpen, we will see you, if not next week, we may take next week off, but then we'll see you in 2 weeks for all of the off-season breakdown. And the Your Take, Our Takes in the off-season, guys, are going to be fire. So look out for those. All exciting content throughout the off-season until the start of the 2021 season. And then we just keep going all year round. All talk, no buck. All the time. Listen, Spotify and YouTube and do it all. Okay, guys. Okay. Oh, and thank you to Tori and Andrew for coming back. And you'll see them a lot more in the off-season as well. So thank you, guys. Call in if you want to be on the podcast. Goodbye.
Bye. Bye.